You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
So, Trent, I believe they say something like...
What do they say?
Dice men who live in glass houses should watch out for the karma when they're crossing the road, otherwise they might get run over by it or bitten by the dogma. Of course, what I'm referring to is...
Where the hell is Leon tonight? Isn't Leon supposed to be on?
Exactly. Last week, poor me at home in bed, sick, and you guys were just going to town, making fun of my notes that I'd worked hard at on my sick bed to get here. And now where's Leon? At home, sick.
What I want to know is how you passed the bacteria onto him.
Without... us ever crossing paths in the last week.
You're both soft. You're both soft, and that's the truth of it. But you are both Dice Men, and it is episode 167 on the 25th of May 2017, this year of our Lord, on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The show proudly supported by our fine friends at Area 52.
They are pretty good.
So when you find something better, switch to it. Or don't. Just stay there.
Right. Well, coming up on the show tonight, we, as if we haven't had it sort of featured much over the last 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the actual play of Hand of Fate Ordeals, which is now launched on Kickstarter and it's going absolutely berserk. We're going to talk about the Spiel des Jahres, the German Game of the Year, which is like the Academy Awards of board games, believe it or not.
It's award season.
It's a big thing.
Origin Award nominations as well.
As well. We've got that and more news and a whole bunch more stuff coming up for you tonight. Oh, competition as well on The Dice Men Cometh.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM. It's the Dice Men tonight. Trent and Mark here talking nerd games.
We sure are.
Methyl Ethel there with a song called
The Hour of Sorcery, I think it would translate.
No ear for French.
You have a good tongue for it.
Chante le feu de
chute so de foie. Your wife says?
Oh, Mark. Oh.
Anyway,
we've
been playing some games lately, haven't
yes.
you? Miss me?
Yes.
Not many people have, apparently, according to Twitter. One tweeter said, "Oh, it looks like they cut the fat," and as if they weren't talking about me. Then I think they may have been. Anyway,
yes, trying to move on and put everything we've just heard behind you.
Okay.
We are talking what we've been playing lately, and specifically we want to talk about the Hand of Fate. Is it a card game or board game?
It's a deck building game.
With a board and
with
lots
a board,
and lots of decks. Very fancy cards.
Yeah.
From our friends at Ruler Make, Alan and Alistair. We can't stop talking about this, and I've got to apologise because Mark's just going to be gushing for the next few minutes the way he does, but...
it's good.
This is the thing. It's actually worth us talking about.
So. Yep. And so, look, just to go right back to the start, for anyone who maybe hasn't heard our interview we had with Ruler Make a couple of weeks back. So, Hand of Fate is a video game developed by Defiant Developers, which is a Brisbane-based video game studio, and it's available on Steam, I think PS4 and Xbox, and it's been quite successful.
And it's in that Hearthstone kind of realm,
although
it's different.
Because it's sort of in two halves where in one half you play the protagonist called Kallus, where you're playing the game, which is an artifact of great power that has you sort of review things that have happened in history by way of playing a card game, which then as you play... like a deck buildery card game in the video game, which then the hand that you've built, if you like, then comes to life and you have a sort of a, not a first person shooter, what do you call it when you sort of look over the shoulder of the character and over the shoulder shooter?
Sure, let's call it that.
Okay. So you're then playing real battles against the bad things that popped up in cards. So it is a game of those two parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's been very successful. So it's the life and death struggle alternating between card play and that action sequence. So in Hand of Fate, colon, ordeals, we've had a lot of colon action lately. You actually play a guy. Stop it, Trent. You play against Kallus. So if you like, Kallus is the game, and you are playing against him to entertain him, but to save your life and the life of up to three companions. Armed with only a rusty axe and the most basic skills, you trace the steps of your past to explore the vast lands between within the kingdom to outwit your opponent and slay the greatest of foes in order to earn the title of hero, which is to say victory points. But there's more than that. So this game has both a competitive mode and a cooperative mode. And we were lucky enough when Rule and Mate came down for their preview event, which was hosted at Area 52, and then they had another one in Melbourne at Gatekeeper Games, we got to actually play this game. So, and often we talk about these Kickstarters, but we never actually get to play them beforehand. So
this has been a real treat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So in this game, there's three, I don't know exactly what they call them, but let's call them three acts. So you play against sort of bosses, which, because this is has a theme of card game, the bosses are a jack, a queen, and a king.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually, they're very tarot style, these cards, even to the fact they're long and thin. And you have actually suits. So you have scales, dust, plague, and skulls. So you might play against the jack of scales. Then you might play against the queen of dust. It's sort of random. But you'll play against one of each of those. And when you beat the king, that's the end of the game. That's the what you're trying to achieve. And each of those suits, they play a little bit different. So scales mean it's harder to beat the baddies. They're a bit tougher. The plague suit generally gives you curses and things like that. So you play against minions, which are drawn at random, and they will be like, might be the one of scales or the four of plague. That's one sort of deck of cards, the minion cards.
And do these come out randomly as you're playing? Or
so what you have on the board, because it's all laid out really beautifully, you have encounters that are set out geographically on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to move to encounters. Some force you to do combat. Some are places you can go shopping, because at its core, really this game combines a deck builder and a dungeon crawler.
Right, and it was this part that reminded me of Pathfinder, but good.
Yeah. I mean, look, it does have some similarities because you are building up your character, you are moving to locations, and then encountering those locations. That's right. But it does it in a really different way. I mean, you've got a board, you've got figures you're moving around, and so each turn you can always move. You choose to encounter, although there are these encounters called ambushes where you're sort of forced to encounter, and then you can shop. And obviously, as a deck builder, what you're shopping for is better cards to put in your deck. But you're building your character, so you can buy armor. You can buy. So as I said, you start with just a rusty axe and nothing. Basically, you're in your all together with a rusty axe.
But there is all kinds of cool gear to get.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah, helmets, armor, boots, one-handed swords, two-handed swords, other weapons, magic items. And then if you do really well, at the end of each of the, let's call them the acts, you get to go shopping at the, what's he called? He's called the Demon Merchant. And you get to buy these relics, which are like really cool Uber weapons and stuff like that. So you're basically, just like in any great video game, you're building up your equipment, you're getting better and better. But as you go through, the minions and the bosses are also getting tougher.
So how do you prepare that deck of minions and the king and the queen and the jack?
So basically you've got a pile each for jack, queen and king, and you basically it's just the top card you would deal with. So there's some randomness there.
Okay.
And some replayability. With the minions, it's just a big deck of, I think they might only go to four. I'm not sure. As so like the one, two, three, and four of those particular suits.
Okay.
But then what happens as well is, from what I saw, the queen will, if the Jack's already been out, they'll get beefed up a little bit, or they'll get extra abilities. And if the Queen's already been out, they'll even be harder. So the difficult, as you're building your character becoming stronger, the difficulty is ramping up.
Mm. And then there's events that you have to deal with that come up as well.
So these are the encounters. So as you're moving to the locations, you flip the encounter because you don't know what's there. And it's that, look, it could just be a different way to shop or a different place to shop. It could be you can encounter some minions and then shop, or it could be the mini boss, like the Jack, and you don't know until you flip it over. So you're basically exploring the board. Once you find the Jack, you have to defeat the Jack, and then that will end that first act, and then you'll reset the board for the Queen. But you can also, there's a geographical element where you can move, the person who beats the Jack can set out the next lot of events the way they want within the spaces of the board. And so you can make it so it's more difficult to move. The people have to encounter other encounters first before they can get to the other part of the board. Because I guess in the competitive game, you're trying to hinder your opponents because you're all moving out basically trying to buy new stuff, trying to defeat monsters and trying to get victory points.
And I love that it's both competitive and cooperative depending on which way you want to
play.
Yeah,
and then it changes up for the competitive mode where you're basically a party. Which I love the thought of that. We played the competitive mode. I really want to try the cooperative mode, where you're basically a party of adventurers going up, tooling up, beating monsters, getting better, going shopping. You know, what you do in great dungeon crawlers. And I really like that, the way that the two parts, the deck builder and the dungeon crawler, come together with the customization of your character. You can even, if you want to role play, you can role play because you've got a warrior, you've got a bardy type person, you've got a bit of a jack of all trades and a magician. And then the cards you can buy, like in a normal deck builder, you have this currency called Strive, where you're striving in fights or you're striving to get better cards. There's three actually sort of like different types of cards. So there's trickster cards, and they're identified by colour. Which the trickster cards let you manipulate your deck. So they might let you thin it out. They might let you draw more cards for attacks.
And these are going to be better or worse against particular suits as well.
Then you've got warrior cards, which just beef up your fighting or let you draw more cards when you fight. And then you've got adventurer cards, which might let you move more, draw more food, because you've got to get food to be able to move around. So then you move to an encounter. You might encounter some minions. What you do then is you might have your weapon equipped. So as I said, you start off with a rusty axe and then you can get better ones. But what you're doing is you flip cards from your deck. Now with the Strive, you're also able to use the Strive points, which are like your currency when you flip, to add to your attack. So it's like you're girding your loins to get stuck in. But then there's also a mechanic where you can sort of stock up some Strive ready for an attack. But then if you don't attack, it's sort of like it falls off on the next turn if you don't use it. It's really clever. And the way that the graphic design, the layout of the cards with this little sort of red ribbon that all joins together as you flip the cards out is really clever. Now, I've got to call out, firstly, a lot of the art is lifted straight out of the video game.
But that's not a problem.
No. And so Jesse Gillespie is the artist for the video game. He's done a fantastic job. And it's all very, I was going to say lino cut, but I don't think they had linoleum in the Dark Ages. Wood cut, I think, was the original term. So it has that real wood cut sort of etching look, which I really, really like. And then, of course, Rule and Make have then engaged fabulous friend of the Dice Men, Ian O'Toole, to create some extra cards, but also bring it all together in the board, which is one of the things he does so well, is he gets the game to flow and he gets the board to also, like, drive the flow of the game. A lot of it is much more intuitive than it is maybe in some other games.
I didn't get the chance to play this in depth the way you did with Garth. I was I had to head away on the Friday night, but what I saw of it was certainly very, very pleasing. Pleasingly lo-fi is the sort of way I describe the art. I mean, that's not quite right, though. I guess the thing about it is that the artwork isn't gaudy the way a lot of fantasy art is in games.
Yeah.
It's a first-class production.
Yes.
But it's an understated illustrative approach.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had a couple of pictures on Instagram. We've got a couple of pictures on our Facebook page. You can see it's so period true. You know, if you've seen the video game, it is so reminiscent of that. But it also has its own way that it works and how the graphic design elements, as I said, help you understand how the game actually plays. I love the look of this game. I love the player boards and the main board and how it all is set out.
Yeah, and in a way, I was kind of glad I didn't play it with you, Mark, because you were gushing so much because you were just so happy to have somebody from Roller Make paying you some attention.
Oh.
And look, it's clear you love it. I love it too because when I look at it, I can see that it's got infinite potential for expansion.
Yes.
And I love the fact that you're going to be up for a lot of money.
So it's on Kickstarter now. It went live a couple of days ago. It's only been up 3 days now as of when we're recording this on Thursday.
Already up to 102 grand.
Yeah, and that's
so
right.
They've smashed
their goal. More than 300% funded in 3 days. This is going to go berserk, and I'm really excited to see. There's heaps of stretch goals already. I'm really excited to see where they go for those. They've also bringing out add-ons where you can add extra sort of campaigns into the cooperative campaign. The replayability of this and the expandability is fantastic. And then you've got Hand of Fate 2, the new video game coming out later on. So this is all, like, they're all feeding into each other. They're all cross-breeding. These two design studios out of Brisbane, they have got winners on their hand here. I'm actually really looking forward to getting the Steam code, which I get as part of my pledge, to give the video game a try. Because I wasn't aware of it, and now I'm really keen to play. I can't say enough good things about this game.
That is Hand of Fate, which is available now.
Hand of Fate : Ordeals.
Yes, I've heard enough colons from you tonight. What we've been playing lately on The Dice Men Cometh, proudly supported by Area 52. Hey, you know Area 52 and Elizabeth Street? Well, got Dark Mofo coming up.
Yes.
Okay, and lots of weird and wonderful stuff happens in the dead of winter in Tassie, and I think about half of Melbourne tends to come down. And look, Area 52 is not a Dark Mofo venue, but some weird stuff does happen in there.
Yes.
So it is worth checking out when you go in there. All right, we're going to talk board gaming news and the nominees for this year's Spiel des Jahres next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Tash, Sultana, this is Johnny before that, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. My name is Trent, sitting across from me is Mark.
How do you do?
We are the Dice Men, and we cometh here to talk board games and card games every Thursday night, thanks to our good, good friends at Area 52 who look after us and this show. And as far as board games and card games go, it doesn't really get much bigger than the Spiel des Jahres Award, the annual award ceremony out of Germany.
Yes.
The spiritual home of the modern board game.
Yes.
Although, as the years go by, I think it's fair to say that we're sort of looking at the Spiel des Jahres in a slightly different light as the hobby continues to evolve through this golden age of board gaming that we're in, supposedly.
Yeah, and I guess back in the day, the Germans were really leading the charge with the type of board games that we like to play, whereas a lot of the time now we're seeing some of the German releases are slightly later than the English releases because they might be, particularly in the case of an American game, they will get it later so the games don't appear on their list perhaps until the following year. Now, this year, I don't know. Well, this is a mixed bag.
It's a funny thing because the rest of the world in the hobby used to look to Germany.
Yeah.
And now it sort of feels a little bit like they're playing catch-up in some respects. And my God, this is this is so German, this whole thing.
Yeah.
Right down to the website that they announced it on being really poorly translated.
Yes. A lot of pages don't even have English translations.
It's just so German. It's like they've got a different word for everything. So let's look at the nominees for the Spiel des Jahres. And the one thing that's become really apparent to us over recent years is just how family-friendly they pitch this. And I'm going to go right in there. There's three nominations. Well, look, you start us off.
Yeah, so let's start with the Spiel, which is the family game of the year. And if you look back, you know, games like Ticket to Ride, games like Dominion.
Carcassonne.
Yeah, games that we would happily sit down and play. They were games that were sort of smack bang in the middle of where this game was pitched at. But what we're seeing now, even though there is a kids category, the Kinderspiel, these games seem to be getting more and more and more towards the simpler version, which to me is interesting and sometimes a little bit troubling, because I think more and more people are trying the games from our hobby and more open to playing perhaps more complex games.
Maybe it's just us getting old.
Oh, not again.
And that's why you find it troubling.
Maybe. So, so three nominees for the award. King Domino by great friend of the show, Bruno Cathala.
That's a bit of a stretch, Mark. We interviewed him once. That doesn't make him a great friend okay. of the show. Just put that back in the box.
He hasn't sort of been very focused on us lately. I must admit, he's been busy.
It's a sort of 15-minute family game. I reckon this has got winner all over it. This is so German!
Yeah, it is. It is. Although, then you've got The Race to El Dorado by the good Dr. Rainer Knizia. He's been away a few years from the awards. Maybe they're bringing him back in.
It's a deck-building, treasure-hunting race game featuring what's apparently a German Indiana Jones on the cover, which makes no sense if you think about it. And then, I'm trying really hard not to.
No, good work. And then finally, Magic Maze by Kasper Lapp, who I haven't heard of before, but good on him, he's in the awards.
It's an asymmetric co-op with no talking, apparently. Mm. Yeah, that's...
There you go.
Nah.
And so there's three games. Look, I had heard of King Domino. I think I might have seen a video review on the Dice Tower, maybe.
Well, it's Bruno Cathala. You pay attention to what a designer of that pedigree does.
Yeah, but, you know, like, certainly none of these are setting the hobby on fire. Just quickly also, there is the recommended list, which is just a few extras. Now, looking down this list, I don't know any of these games.
But this is more and more the feeling with this Builders Yaris. Yeah. It's this list of family games that people that aren't on the West's radar.
Yeah.
And you just go,
And a lot of these, I think, looking at them, they are perhaps had a European release and not a world release.
Oh, they're so German!
So Deja Vu, Dodolido.
Well, that one's French.
Fable Juice, Clask, Shiftago, Das Tempel des Schreckens, The Temple of Terror, and Word Slam. So again, like, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I don't play these simple games, but I haven't heard of any of those.
Well, also, it could be a reflection of the fact that they actually introduced the Kennerspiel Award, which we're about to talk about, which is the gamer's game.
Yeah, the connoisseur's game.
This is the one that everybody's really interested in.
Yeah, that's
now.
Right. So, and so look, let's work up. So the recommended list, I'm so excited to see Le Poilu. Which, of course,
the Grizzled,
the Hairies, or as we know it, the Grizzled, which is absolutely one of our favourite games, except it feels like we've been playing that game for years.
It does at that.
So I don't know whether it's just that maybe it didn't initially get a German release.
These are only German releases.
You've got Great Western Trail, which I've heard good things about, although I haven't played it yet. You've got The Grimoire of Madness, which I must admit I haven't heard of. And then you got Captain Sonar, which was one of the runaway hits from sort of, I think, Gen Con onwards last year. That sort of team building, asymmetric, fighting in submarines against each other in real time. Again, it's part of the trouble with having so many great games in this hobby is we just haven't got that. I think that's one of the games that's on my Bordercon list.
Well,
definitely.
Captain Sonar is one of those things. It's team play. You need a lot of players to actually...
Yeah, you sort of want like 6 to 8, I think.
And it's a lot of pressure as well. When you like, that's not a game you sit down and relax with because you're competing in these teams. What else is in that list? Great Western Trail. I mean, that's a game of cattle ranching and
Yep.
Yeah. Look, apparently it's good.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, I've heard good things about it.
But out of that little recommended list, I cannot understand why
The Grizzled
is not actually in the nominee one of the nominees, because I mean, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah, it deserves all the accolades it gets and more. So,
and now when I look at the nominees, I just go,
yeah, no. See, I don't know. I mean, I was quite excited by this. I mean, firstly, and you know, we talked about the Germans playing catch up to us, terraforming Mars. So this was my number one game of 2016. I think Garth was is his number two game. I know you love this game. But to me, it's hands down, it's the winner already when I look at this. I love the game and I think it deserves... the problem, I think, has been it's been very hard to get because it was fairly small print run, I believe. It's at the first. It's up against Hold On To Your Horses, except Vikings don't use horses, I don't think. Raiders of the North Sea by Shem Phillips from New Zealand.
Who we interviewed on this show.
Yeah.
Not exactly a friend of the show, but we did talk to him once.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make that claim.
Fair enough. And then the third one, you know, we recently had a whole show about escape rooms.
Did you say what the first one was?
I'm about to say it now. So we had a whole show about escape rooms, and this is Exit the Game, which interestingly enough... It's not one game, but three games. There's three separate games in this series. It's by Inka and Marcus Brand, who have done a lot of German stuff.
They made The Village.
Being Germans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I haven't played Raiders of the North Sea, and I know we've said we want to get it to the table this weekend.
So it's Raiders of the North Sea as part of the North Sea trilogy. And of course, being gluttons for punishment, we want to sit down and play the trilogy all in yes. one night, plus the extra expansion add-on to just go nuts. I did get as far as Raiders of the North Sea, which is the second in the series, and it is so far the standout
yes.
from the two that I've played. Needs more time at the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully we're going to get to that one this weekend. But yeah, Exit the Game. So it's a series of three escape room games.
Which is unusual to nominate a series.
Well, I don't think it's ever happened before. So that's unusual, firstly. Is it just cashing in, do you think, on the fact that escape rooms are one of the, you know, the hit things? It's a hot thing
the
that Spiel people
des
do?
Jahres commercially motivated, Mark.
Oh, no,
Mark,
no,
I would
no,
never have thought that.
Again.
I would never have thought that. But the game that we clearly think is going to win... is Terraforming Mars.
Yeah, which means it probably isn't, because I don't think we've ever got one right of these. But, you know, look, I love that game, and I've played it... I don't think I quite got to half a dozen plays. I just want to play it a lot more. It is just so great and meaty. But even then, none of these games are that complex. And it's almost like now we need the canna spiel for the really meaty games. But maybe you don't. I don't know. So that's the Canish Bill. Look, I'm really going to be curious to see what happens there, because you've got three really different games. You've got Inka and Marcus Brand, as we said, who are well-known German designers. You've got Shem Phillips. This is his, well, the trilogy. Was that his first works?
No, not his first. It's certainly been a very successful project
okay.
for him. But no, he's Garfield Games has done quite a few.
And right. And then the Frixiliuses from...
This is their first game, as far as I'm aware.
Finland or Denmark? I have a feeling it's Finnish.
It's Sweden, I believe.
I think it's Finnish.
Let's not argue about
No, or make any puns.
Let's finish.
And look, very, very briefly, I was going to mention the Kinderspiel. Of course, I don't know any of these. Captain Silver, Ice Cool, and the Mysterious Forest. Not that I've heard any of those, but hey, who would expect me to have heard of Kid's Name, of Kid's Games, sorry. So we're going to be watching really closely to see what happens in the Kinderspiel.
July 17 in Berlin, they are announced. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, or a week or so back, actually, the Origin Awards from the Academy of Adventure Gaming Arts and Design, they released their nominations for Board Games and Card Games of the Year. We'll whip through them very quickly. A lot of titles that I think are a lot more familiar to Australian audiences. Blood Rage!
Oh, yeah.
Clank! Exclamation mark, which is one that I'm really hanging out to try now.
Yes, well, I've got a copy on order, but I think it's still Another 2 to 3 weeks away. It's the problem of supply again.
Cry Havoc, which is that dirty, nasty little sort of sci-fi area control game that just leaves... There's no fat on that game at all.
Yeah.
Right? It's just smack down right in your face. Feast for Odin, Islebound, Mansions of Madness. Of course, you'd expect that. Been a huge hit. Scythe.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rebellion. Terraforming Mars. It's in both lists, and World's Fair 1893. Those are the nominees for Best Board Game.
And look, I must admit, it's great to see. In past years, the Origins Award, there have been some sort of strange ones in there. They've obviously grown their list a bit. But look, there's a, I would say, almost every one of those games there, that would almost be the top 10 games of last year.
And look, there's a whole bunch of other categories. We're not going to go through it and read them all now, but Terraforming Mars clearly already a major contender, being the only title to make it into both lists. Although, actually, there's a card game called Big Book of Madness, and I wonder if that's the same as Grimoire of Madness. Is that just the translated version?
Maxine Ramborg, let me have a look.
Perhaps we should have checked that out as a part of our preparation for this show, rather than doing it live on air.
Yeah, okay.
The Dice Man cometh, as usual, phoning it in on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Bubbling up from the fetid cesspit of the Brisbane River, forged in the hellfires of Logan, Hand of Fate Ordeals is the adventure deck-building game of 1-4 lives and deaths, set in the same universe as the award-winning video game and its upcoming sequel. If that kind of universal tie-in synchronicity thing really matters to you, it's just a freaking cool card game, and it's available now for crowdfunding on Kickstarter. This game is going to let you play over 3 levels of fighting your way through locations and encounters to spend strive points to battle minions, buy cool stuff, and tailor your deck against enemies of plague, dust, and scales to take on the big bads, the royalties of each of those decks. You can make cool combos, you can deal with the demon trader, and then reset the whole thing because there's a lot of replayability in this game, Hand of Fate Ordeals. All right, get yourself onto Kickstarter. The draft rules are online. That's always a good sign for a Kickstarter campaign because it's going to show you what the guys behind this, Rule and Make and Defiant Development, have been working on, and you'll be able to see for yourself just how developed this game is. At the time of me recording this, there is plenty of time for you to back this Kickstarter. It's well and truly funded. They've smashed their goals. And there are new royalty add-ons and new miniatures for you to delve into and drool over. Hand of Fate Ordeals, the Kickstarter campaign. This is your chance to get in on the ground floor of something that is going to be ongoing. It's going to be big. And it's going to be the kind of massive money sink that we gamers just really love. Delivery is estimated at November 2017. It's Rule and Make's 8th Kickstarter. They know what they're doing. Hand of Fate Ordeals is a first-class product that the Dice Men thoroughly endorse. We've got Dice Men backing this, and we recommend that you do as well. Good on you guys.
That was Sammy by the Pink Tiles here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, with the Dice Men cometh, proudly supported by Area 52. Tasmania's leading pop culture store. And if you like your pop culture, particularly those pop thingies, the pop figures, they've got squillions of those. They've got comics, they've got your anime, they've got your posters, they've got your t-shirts.
And games. Which is
as well
for.
As games.
Are they proud to support us, or are we proud to be supported by them?
I think we're all proud together.
Okay, just clarifying.
Yeah. Speaking of clarification... The Grimoire of Madness is the same game that's on both lists.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Now.
Speaking of clarification,
yes.
can you clarify for me when this Burger Up competition is ending? Because we didn't set an end date.
We haven't. So, look, I reckon, given that Rule and Make have fantastically provided those prizes.
Copies of Burger Up Kickstarter edition.
That's right. And Rule and Make have their Hand of Fate Kickstarter going. I reckon we might run it for just a couple more weeks to give more people the chance.
And all you have to do to go into the draw is buy a burger to eat and take a selfie of yourself with the burger.
That's right. And look, you can. We've seen someone's posted one of our Facebook page. We've always got our Gmail, dicemancometh@gmail.com, so you can send it there. You can post an Instagram and hashtag dicemancometh or tag us at dicemancometh on Instagram. Any way you like, as long as you let us know that you've done it. And you can go in the draw. Three copies of not just the standard edition, not just the standard burger edition, but the Kickstarter edition with the Burgers of the World expansion. This is a top-notch production by Rule & Make. And why wouldn't you want to win one?
I don't know why. You wouldn't.
You would want to win one. You would.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Trent.
Hello.
It's time for...
Board Gaming News. The brains behind Paizo is leaving. Editor-in-Chief Wesley Schneider, after 14 years with Paizo, 14
wow.
years that saw Pathfinder become the first RPG to outsell D&D in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's written dozens of adventures. He's created the whole Adventure Path concept and even wrote one of the Pathfinder novels. Which I didn't know existed
he
until now.
He has been busy. Oh, didn't you?
No announcement on what Wesley's future is, but he's going to keep a hand in writing the odd Pathfinder supplement here and there, but it really is the end of an era for that particular property under Wesley's guidance. So it'll be interesting to see how it carries forward now that Starfinder... is that what it was called again?
Yes, the space-based one, yeah. And, I mean, of course, have they... waited too long to reinvent themselves with D&D coming back, overtaking them with 5th edition and really sort of powering forward. You know, is this the start of the downfall? Of
maybe
them?
A new editor will set new tone. No announcement's been made. We've had a first look at Infection at Outpost 31, which is the Thing board game, which is coming out in October. Couple of images have been released, and it looks a lot like Dead of Winter.
Oh, really?
look, it's a top-down view of the Antarctic Research Station that Kurt Russell and his friends inhabit.
Yes.
There appears to be some kind of mechanic where power can go off in the room, so maybe you're trapped in darkness. There's a whole bunch of... different weapons and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
Look, it being the thing, it being one of the few I was going to say one of the few franchises from my childhood that hasn't been ruined by a recent sequel.
Yes.
That was much hyped and overblown, but of course it was remade not that long ago. The Thing. See, you can't even remember.
You know I'm not a movie guy.
It was shocking. Anyway, speaking of Dead of Winter, co-designer Jonathan Gilmore is working on a new horror survival series with IDW Games, and Outpost Siberia is the first. Now, these are relatively small card games. They're co-ops with special asymmetric roles that tackle threats and events as they arise in the deck. And that all sounds fine, but Jonathan, where's the next Dead of Winter? Well,
the next Crossroads game. I was going to ask you, is it a Crossroads game?
It's not. It's an entirely separate new series that he's starting, and I'm seeing Jonathan Gilmore's name on more and more of these new projects that are yet to come out. So I keep thinking that second Crossroads game is just a long way off now.
Yeah, well, because I just backed Dinosaur Island from Pandasaurus on Kickstarter,
right.
And one of the things you can get with that is you can get a copy of the Wasteland Express delivery service, which is Jonathan Gilmore's amazing new sort of pick up and deliver Mad Maxi type universe game.
And of course, they've just announced the new expansion for Dead of Winter, where you can combine the two sets, Long Night and the original. So Crossroads 2, the Lost in Space game, is it was teased at. Doesn't look like it's going to be coming anytime soon because they're milking the Dead of Winter lizard.
Yeah,
and
we'll see.
And speaking of milking the sci-fi lizard, Gale Force 9's upcoming Doctor Who Time of the Daleks. Do you remember? Do you remember we talked about this?
Yes.
Because this sounds like the Doctor Who game that you want to play.
Yes.
It was to have been a game for 2 to 6 players playing as any of the Doctor's incarnations.
Oh, yeah.
In a co-op against the Daleks, Well, it's now going to be for just four players. And guess what? There's only going to be four doctors available in the base game.
All the new ones?
And no, they're going with a mix across the history.
Yeah.
But the rest of the doctors will be now available in expansions.
Of course.
That's milking the lizard.
Yep.
Star Wars Rebellion is getting its first expansion, Rise of the Empire, which will be, I think, the first board game to feature something from Rogue One. That's not your colon again, is it? So Rogue One making an appearance in cardboard and plastic. So those characters, amongst other things, in Star Wars Rise of the Empire. It doesn't really matter, though, because they all die anyway. Spoilers.
Yes.
Spoilers.
But it's going to be great, though.
And last bit of news for the evening, the 7th of July 2017, 7777. If you're a Seven Wonders fan, mark the date.
Mm.
There's a mysterious Facebook announcement with zero details, just that date. There's going to be some kind of announcement, quite probably the app that's been in development.
Oh, it's been coming for so many years.
3 years they've been working on the Seven Wonders app. So maybe that's what's actually finally going to be released on that date. There's also the upcoming Armada expansion. Yes, another expansion for Seven Wonders. And something called the Anniversary Pack, which designer Antoine Bowser has teased. I haven't bothered adding a Seven Wonders expansion to my copy of this game since the Cities expansion.
Yes, same.
And they had the Tower of Babel as well, because it was just far, far too much to keep track of. Well, for my humble brain, anyway.
Yeah.
And look, that's the extent of the news tonight, in addition to those awards. So,
look, I've got something quick that just, you might have not even seen it when you were doing your work last night, because this has just popped up today, hot off the presses. Grail Games. Now, they are a great friend of the show. They have just launched a super quick little Kickstarter campaign. It's only a 20-day campaign. It's just launched today. Hang 12, the Push Your Luck Party Game. David, what are you doing? You didn't tell us about this, mate. You're keeping secrets from your buddies. How can we talk it up if we don't know about the game? But it looks interesting. It's a party game from Grail Games, so that's a new thing for them. And it's only $33, so it's got a bit of stuff in it. It's so new, I haven't even had a chance to have a look at it. I just thought I'd mention it.
Thank you.
Because we've got a bit of time.
Okay, Mark and Trent signing off.
I wonder who's going to be sick next week.
Maybe I'll take a turn.
Yeah, I can't have another sickie. Well, do you think Garth might be back even in the same hemisphere as us next week? I don't know.
He's making me sick posting all his...
He's travelling the world.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, the Dice Man Cometh, signing off. We'll catch you again next week.
Bye.
Courtesy of the good people at Area 52. Thanks for looking after us, guys. Ciao.
You've been listening to another episode of the Dice Man Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support the Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon, for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.